Since I'm in Hebrews, not quite ready to leave there yet, almost, I'll go ahead and read our text from Hebrews first. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And from our text in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6, I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. We are essentially putting before us the use of the doctrine of the immutability of God. It's not a formal treatment on that subject, but we are using it and exposing our minds to the doctrine as we go in this subject. We were on the third head of the first point, and I urge us to listen and observe the scriptures as we read and talk, and ask the Spirit of God to empower and enliven His inspired words in our minds and enable us all to glory, rejoice in the Holy Scripture. And then we were in the process of using some passages of Scripture to show how that the doctrine of God's immutability is woven into the text of Scripture and the revelation of the Scripture throughout the Word of God, and showing it that by pointing it to different places. And we were last at Hebrews 14 through 16, or Hebrews 4, 14 through 16. No, I'll read that one, but I think we went a little farther. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. We have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. He was ever and always without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. Don't think little of that. Lodge that in your minds. We have a right, who are believers, to come boldly to the throne of grace. God is not going to get offended and be mad at us and hold grudges against us so that he's up there saying, no, you did this or you did that. I'm not going to listen to you. We have a right in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our rights are all in the Lord Jesus Christ to come boldly to God's throne of grace, pleading for what we need, pleading for help to govern our emotions when we're in trials. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy, expect to obtain mercy, and find grace to help in the time of need. And then we're at verse chapter 5 and verse 9. And being made perfect, that is talking about complete as a priest, as our great high priest, being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation. Now, the author of something is a pretty significant person. Christ is the Savior of sinful men who believe in Him. But I want you to note that He is the author not of causing people to make professions who have been told that they are going to be lost if they don't measure up to some measure of sanctification that no preacher who preaches that can tell you what is, but still you're going to be lost if you don't measure up. The author of eternal, the salvation that Christ gives when you believe on Him is eternal. You have been engaged, you might say, with eternal life. You have been inspired with eternal life. You have been infused with eternal life, and you will be in eternal glory with the Lord Jesus Christ ultimately. And I pointed out that this subject of eternality in certainly more than implies immutability. Something that is eternal is not changeable. It's going to take place. In the judgment day, real believers receive the judgment gift of eternal life, which given to them, which they received at the time they believed, but it will then be declared to them by the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember Matthew 25. We spent some time there some time back, and where it says, when the Son, verse 31, when the Son of Man shall come in His glory and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit up on the throne of His glory. Christ is coming again, and we are going to see Him ultimately upon a throne of glory. And before Him shall be gathered all nations or all peoples, and He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And He shall say, set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the King say unto them on His right hand, come, ye blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Prepared from the foundation of the world. And it's not going to fail. God has not been off again and on again. We do not see anywhere in Scripture where God says that those who are His people are and were appointed from the foundation of the world had better watch out and better mind all their P's and Q's and do everything they can to please Him. The Scripture does not run that way. Salvation is all of Christ and none of man. Amen. Yes, we do believe, but it is with a faith that is given to us by the Spirit of God. We do repent, but it is with a repentance that is initiated by the Spirit of God working in us. And at the last, in verse 46, He says, and these, those who are unbelievers, shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. We will be in life eternal. Actually, from the time we believe, but we will, obviously, while we may have eternal life in us here now, we are not experiencing the full glory of it, the full happiness of it, the full joy of it. Our human inabilities, our finiteness can only carry us so far in union and communion with the Lord Jesus Christ and in our faith. See John chapter 3 and verses 15 and 16. We're going to continue to go through our Scripture searching on this matter. Verses 15 and 16, talking about eternal life. Verse 15. verse 15, of whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. I didn't read the sentence before to complete the sentence. The thing I'm insisting upon is that we get it in our heads that this salvation of Christ is eternal life for us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, and note that whosoever believeth, should not perish but have everlasting life. If I'm not mistaken, everlasting and eternal will come to the same thing. And verse 36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Oh, dear young people, dear children even, if you can understand, do not fiddle around with coming to Christ. Because you're becoming more hardened every day that you live, because you have to soil your conscience with more acts of sins that you try to cover up and try to hide this way and that way, and that hardens your spirit. Please, please do seek the Lord Jesus Christ. In chapter 6 of John, and verses 37 through 40, we have that set the music, and what a good song it is. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Well, that equates to eternal life, doesn't it? But for I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. But I know that it will come to your mind, because Satan will be sure that it does, and your own conscience will be sure that it does. How can I know whether the Father gave me to Christ or not? You don't, and you can't. What you can do is seek the Lord Jesus Christ. Cry out to him for mercy. Plead with him for mercy. That's what you can do. And that's how all sinners come to our God, is through the Lord Jesus Christ, seeking him and God ultimately giving them enough grace to realize that they have been converted. Then Simon Peter, in verse 68 of the same chapter, said, then Simon Peter answered Jesus' question, "Will you also go away?" He said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." Eternal life is not skimpily addressed. It's mentioned many times. God wants people to know that he has eternal life to give them, and that he will give it to those who seek and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. In chapter 10, verse 28, get my pages to turn. I'll read 27. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." And then again in chapter 12 and verse 25, he that loveth his life shall lose it. What does that mean? What that means is if you go on without coming to Christ, you're going on your own. You love your way. You're willing to suffer all the heartaches, the pains and trials of life, and ultimately whatever manner of death is appointed for you, you're willing to suffer that rather than believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and have eternal life. You just want to live your life in this world. And I am telling you, it is a wretched world. In the happiest of marriages, there are, in some ways, the happier marriage is, the more grief that can come to you. My wife was at the point of death for several days, and that's a pretty grievous thing to bear. But I have the joy of knowing that she is willing and ready to go to glory and be with Christ, and I am ready for her too, willing for her too, if that is God's will. But at the same time, my plea was that I would be able to be with her for several more years. But you see, in the happiest of marriages, that great trials can come. Sam could have had a leg torn off and bled to death before I could have got him anywhere in that tractor incident. Caleb has been near death. Joshua's had to have a surgery for what one doctor said, well, we know you have cancer. Just like that didn't amount to anything, but it wasn't cancer. I can't name what it was. But he had a very serious condition. There are all these trials of life that all of we adults know are coming, and we know they're not going to quit coming. Trials have been so many kinds. And you fiddle around about eternal life, about seeking Him who can and will give eternal life. Oh, don't do that. Don't do that. You're in it. Every living person is always in a most serious condition of life because he doesn't know what's going to happen or when it's going to happen. When I reached back to take hold of Sam, lifting him up this way, I didn't know he would slip from my grasp. I didn't know somebody had stuck a bent nail through the little power takeoff shaft that wouldn't have done more than skinned him or something. But the nail caught in his pants and broke his leg all to pieces and his ankle. I didn't know that. It was just a happy event. I was going to give Sam a ride on the tractor. That's how quick it happens. Before I could drop him and then turn around and see him, he was laying over beside the road. I asked him if he was hurt. He wasn't even crying. He said yes. And I went over there and started looking at him. I saw he was hurt a lot worse than we thought. At the very best, even any of you young people up in teenage years have already had lots of disappointments, lots of backsets, and that kind of thing. You've made friends and lost friends and so forth and so on. Well, there's whole lots more grief out there. And if you marry and you have children, then every one of those children can be a fountain of sorrow or grief or trial and so forth to you, as well as giving you lots of happy moments. Don't forget this. He that loveth his life shall lose it. If you love your life in this world, and that's all you want, you better realize it's going to change and change and change and change, and only the worms are going to eat you, and you will be in hell without Christ. But and he that hateth his life, say, do you hate the life in the sense the scripture is talking about? Yes, I do. I hate all of the trials. I hate all of the wicked people. I hate it that people won't believe when you share the gospel with them. I hate it that the government has been taken over by people so brazen that they could just openly steal a presidential election and nothing be done about it. You think things are going to get better in this country? Not a chance of it, except God bring a great and glorious revival. You younger people are going to see it worse, much worse. It is incredible how much worse this nation is now than it was 50 years ago. And it's going to keep on at an accelerated rate, going worse, because the people, there are more wicked people, and the people are wickeder. Because they can do more wickedness with government approval. And you're going to have to live in that scene. Oh, that you have Christ to help govern your mind and govern your thoughts and govern your souls and help you with the griefs and sorrows that you're going to be full of from time to time. Chapter 17, just verses 2 and 3. Well, I'll read part verse 1. Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. There that is again. You don't jump like a grasshopper into Christ. God works in you. God gave you to him, and God by his Spirit calls you out, granting you faith and repentance. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee. You want life eternal, seek the Lord Jesus Christ. Whatever you're pursuing in this world, remember salvation, eternal life, is more important. I don't say quit on what you're seeking. If there's nothing sinful about it, keep on. If you want the girls want to be married and have a husband and have children, if you young men want the same, well, good. That's wonderful. God's for that. But everything is better when you know the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Marriage can fail, mates can die, children can die, children can become outlaws, as so many of them do, because the parents did not take the trouble to rear them in the Christian way of life. So many things are out there on the negative side, and here you're promised eternal life. You say, well, you keep reading about eternal life. I want you to know that it is here in the Scripture.
Amen.
It's not something that you have to guess at or have to work out to find that maybe it's talking about that. No, it said boldly. God is beating you over the head with it right now with my voice. It's eternal life that Christ gives. And then Acts 13:48. When the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. Again, you don't know if you're ordained. It's not even lawful, let me say, before God to ask about that. What you are commanded to do is what you are supposed to do. Do you want eternal life? Follow the Lord Jesus Christ. In your heart, in your mind, fall at His feet and confess all of your sins before Him and plead with Him to open your heart to come to know him. So how do I know him? You will know that you know him when you love what his word is teaching you to do and are trying to do it. In Romans 5, verse 21, just above it says, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, sin is reigning unto death in those who are outside of Christ. Now, you note that word, reigning. You think you're doing your own will. You think I'm doing what I like. You think I'm doing what's going to make me happy. Ultimately, none of that's going to make you happy. Sin is reigning over you. Satan has the blinders on you. I pray God that you have had enough home education about God to put a fear in you that will keep you from just roaming around the world like dogs, living in fornication and filth and degradation. As sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness. And that's not your righteousness, it's Christ's righteousness unto what? Eternal life. How? By Jesus Christ, our Lord. And 6:23, the wages of sin is death. That's plain enough, isn't it? What's sin? Read the Word of God. It's got plenty of indications of what sin is. If your conscience has been trained by Christian parents, you've already got plenty of ideas about what sin is. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. How? Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. How wonderfully our God puts this ever so often in the Scripture. It's not like God is trying to hide salvation from you, is it? You can never go away and say that. He's pushing it at you. He's putting it before you. You're having to listen to my voice tell you and read it to you. Amen. Eternal life is there for those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. There's other places. I'm not giving you all. I said there were over 20. You know, I'm not giving you that many, but 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 12 and 19. Fight the good fight of life. This is talking to Christians, of course. Lay hold, that is, deliberately. Take hold of it with your mind, with your heart, with your affections. Lay hold on eternal life, which is taking hold on Christ and believing the Lord Jesus Christ. Whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. What he's doing is challenging believers to keep on believing. Keep on striving after Christ. Amen. Keep on serving God and worshiping him. Keep your mind busy with the things of heaven and as much as you can, and not just things on the earth. And then in verse 19 of that same chapter, laying up in store, let me read verse 18, that they do good, that they be rich in good works. This is aimed at the rich people among the believers, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, give to the needy, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Use the same phrase two different times in that chapter. And Titus 1:2. In hope, well, let me read verse 1. Paul, a servant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. you know that any preacher who is preaching that God is mutable, that God can change, he doesn't believe this. And hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie. My God might be put in a place in their minds where he would lie to them. But what I'm urging is that you know, you can't know if you're God's elect. You can know you're God's elect after you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, because the Spirit of God can assure you from the teachings that your ministers give you about the Lord Jesus Christ. The more you hear about Christ, the more certain you will be that you're of God's elect, because the preaching and teaching of the ministers are telling us what the Scripture tells us to do, how the Scriptures tell us to live. And that's what we're setting before you at all times. And your comfort and assurance will grow as you grow in the doctrine of Christ, as you learn the doctrine of justification, learn more the doctrine of atonement. Ultimately, you'll be saying, well, if I'm a believer, I absolutely cannot fail of salvation. It is eternal life that God has given me and his people. Chapter 3, here in verse 7, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs. I'd like to have read the whole thing, but according to the hope of eternal life. Remember, that hope for the Christian is not just something like, well, I hope it doesn't rain tomorrow, or I hope I catch a big fish when I'm fishing. Nothing like that. That hope is something that is solid in heaven. It is eternal life. It is being in heaven with God. It is the Lord Jesus Christ, if you will. The hope of eternal life is the Lord Jesus Christ and the work that he did in his life and in his sin atoning death. And again, coming to the Hebrews, chapter 5 and verse 7, I don't think I read that. Again, he limited a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. I put that there to make a point of about hardening your hearts, and I've already made that. Chapter 9 and verse 12, we're very nearly finished for today. Chapter 9 and verse 12, let me back up to verse 11. But Christ being come and high priest of good things to come, by greater, note that, a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, that is his body, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Eternal redemption. He paid for everything eternally. This is what that is indicating to you. And then verse 15, and for this cause, he, Jesus, is the mediator of the new covenant, the new testament, the new will of God, if you will, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions, the sins that were under the first covenant, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance, which is eternal life. The eternal inheritance is eternal life. And 1 Peter chapter 5, we're nearing the end. And verse 10, don't want Peter to be left out in talking about eternal life. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after ye have suffered a while, make you perfect or complete, grown up, mature in Christ, establish, strengthen, settle you. You say, it doesn't say eternal life. What's eternal glory? That's what eternal life, the eternal glory is eternal life in this case. And 1 John 1:2, for the life, that's Christ, was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life. Christ is eternal life to all who believe, which was with the Father, was manifested unto us. And chapter 2 and verse 25, and this is the promise that He hath promised us, even eternal life. And chapter 3 and verse 15, whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, you know that no murderer hath what? Eternal life abiding in him. And chapter 5 and verse 11, and this is the record that God hath given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. And verse 20, and we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding, that we may know Him that is true. He is truth, personified, eternal, and we are in Him that is true, even in His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Amen. And Jude 7:21. Jude verse 7 and then verse 21. I'll read verse 6. The angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, He hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness, under the judgment of the great day. Those lost angels never had a chance to believe the gospel. They were already sealed up. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, they're turning this country into Sodom and Gomorrah, doing it on purpose. The people are laying down like little whipped puppies and not voting these devils out of office, giving themselves over to fornication. The public school system, every public school is a temple of fornication. And now that's the truth. As soon as the children are old enough to fornicate, they begin fornicating in public schools, learning the wickedness from each other, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh. That's filthy sodomites. They're being glorified nowadays, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Eternal fire. Not only is Christ's salvation eternal, that the fires of hell are eternal. And in verse 21, last one, keep yourselves in the love of God. How can I make myself love God? You can't. You'll come to love God when you're seeking the Lord Jesus Christ. God grants you the grace of faith and repentance, and then you will grow and grow and grow in love of the great God and about the Lord Jesus Christ. Never let your mind, because Satan will trick you that way, never let your mind think, now God the Father wants to damn everybody and send them to hell. God the Father is the leader of the Godhead. I'll say it that way. If He didn't want people to be saved, they will be saved. Who do you think gave all these people who are going to be saved to the Lord Jesus? God the Father. So don't ever let your mind trick you into thinking that God is your enemy. God is your enemy only in so much as you continue to refuse to believe on His Son, so that you might have eternal life. Jude 21, keeping yourselves in the love of God, not hard to do for believers walking with Christ, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life, unto the last day of our lives. Brethren, let us be looking unto the Lord Jesus Christ, seeking the Holy Spirit's help in walking with Christ, giving our hearts and minds over to loving our God, Father, Son, and Spirit. Sam dismisses, please.
Heavenly Father, I thank You for the great truths that have been set before us today. Thank You for Your immutable nature, for, as the song says, change and decay and all around. We see it even in our own selves. But we thank You that You are immutable and unchangeable, that Your promises are sure, and that we may have confidence in Them. And now unto Him that is able to keep us from falling, present us faultless before the presence of Your glory with eternal glory. Glory and dominion, majesty, both now and ever.
Amen.